I think we all share the sentiment of that song, that we are grateful to be Americans. We know the trouble and the problems that are in our nation, but we also still are grateful that we live here and we enjoy our freedoms, and we're going to be talking about freedom today. When I retired, I got from a friend at the church a card that said, retirement, do what you want, when you want, if you want. And that's kind of been my motto, do what you want, when you want, if you want. But right now I'm doing what I want, and that is preaching. I have 7 Sundays in a row lined up, 11 in all coming through September. So it's a preaching season, but it's something that I do want to do. And I thank you for the privilege to be here at First Church today. Along with that, I go to our botanical garden 2 mornings a week and volunteer there. We're in the weeding season now, and there's plenty of weeds growing. We've had dry weather by us, but still the weeds grow. And usually Mondays and Wednesday mornings, I go there and help them out. And it's just fun to get outside and enjoy the garden and to enjoy some physical work. We've been basically healthy, except for a bout with COVID back in February. It lasted for about a good 3 weeks, and we were pretty confined to the house during that whole time. But we came through it, and we've been healthy since. So we're enjoying our life in Beloit. Our daughters both live there, and our 3 grandchildren are there, so we get to see them too. It's a privilege to worship with you and to now share from God's Word. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of life, and we thank you that we can live in this country, in America. We thank you for its history and heritage, for so many who gave of themselves and some even of their lives so that we could have freedom and freedom could be preserved. We thank you also for that greater freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us today to focus upon that and to thank you for that and then to live in that freedom. Guide us now as we think upon your word and as we seek to apply it to our lives, and then as we continue to live the life you've called us to. Bless and lead us further, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5, reading verses 1-15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. 246 years ago, in the year 1776, our country was declared to be a free nation. The signing of the Declaration of Independence was the document that stated that now America was free from any other rule. John Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration and our second President of the United States, said this the day after the signing: yesterday the greatest question was decided, whichever was debated in America, and a greater perhaps never was nor will be decided among men. A resolution was passed without a dissenting colony that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. That was 246 years ago, and yet today, tomorrow, we will celebrate once more the freedom of our land. We will do it as usual with picnics and with family and community gatherings. And once more, we will see, of course, the fireworks. It's a great celebration of independence and of freedom that we have every year. But today, I want us to focus not simply on the freedom of our country, but the freedom that we have as Christian believers. In Christ, we are free, and we want to celebrate that. My theme today is that spiritual freedom must be accepted, but not abused. The first verse of Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's an important verse and a wonderful verse. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Say that with me. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Isn't that a glorious, wonderful message to know that through Christ we are set free for freedom? Now we could ask today, why did Paul write this? Well, it was because of a problem that had come up in the churches of Galatia. It was the problem of legalism. There were a group of people who became known as the Judaizers who began to stress that salvation in Christ alone was not enough. They had come from a Jewish background and they began to teach and stress that a person who became a Christian also had to follow the Jewish rituals and regulations, and especially their ritual of circumcision. It was legalism. It was trust, not simply in Christ alone, but trusting in their own works and achievements. And Paul wrote this book of Galatians to counteract that heresy. He speaks of it already in the first chapter. He comes out boldly. He realized the seriousness of this problem. And so in the first chapter, verse 6, he said, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And he went on to say, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he puts it in the strongest terms that one could. He says, but even if we, Paul himself and the others of his time, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. It couldn't be put any stronger than that. Paul realized this was a serious situation. He had to speak forcefully. He had to say clearly and plainly to them that they were saved only through the shed blood of Christ, only through what Christ accomplished for them on the cross. And Paul says to have any other gospel really is no gospel at all. Think of the importance of freedom. Every once in a while, we have reports on our television about people who may have escaped from prison. I remember a case a few years ago where a couple of people escaped from a prison, and they did a lot. They dug a hole. They escaped through a sewer pipe, and they got themselves out through a manhole. And then they were on the run for 3 weeks. Maybe you remember that account too. There was one more recent than that we've just heard about recently too. But people who are captive, people who are in prison, have one main ambition and hope, and that is to be free. You and I take it for granted. We can go about and do what we want. We are free to live our lives, to make our decisions. But a person who is captive does not have those freedoms. Their situation is desperate. We need to realize that our situation apart from Christ is also desperate. We need to realize that the salvation that Christ has given to us paid for our sins. Without Him, we would be lost. Without Him, we would have no hope. Without Him, we could not be saved. Without Him, we could say we are also locked up in a prison of our own sinful and selfish desires and lives. But with Christ, there is freedom. Another great verse is in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." No condemnation, freedom for those who are in Christ. And Paul says it so plainly here in these verses. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. That's the act of freedom. But secondly, also think about the acceptance of freedom. Paul emphasizes that we need to remain in this freedom. We should not slip back into our legalisms. It's easy for us to do that. We can begin trusting in ourselves or our works or things we have done. And there are many, many people in our world today who are doing that. They may trust in their ritual. They may trust in saying their prayers, going through their routines or their religious obligations. And sometimes Christians themselves fall into that legalism of thinking that somehow we can gain acceptance with God through our own works. And Paul wanted to warn against that. He says in the next words, "Stand firm. Stand firm. Dig your heels in. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." He says, secure a foothold. Your freedom is valuable and precious. Don't let it be taken from you. Don't let yourself slip back into that legalism. He said that if these people did not stand firm in their freedom, Christ would be of no value to them. He speaks of it in verse 2. "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all." And we could add a whole list of things there. If you let yourselves trust in your own works, if you let yourselves trust in your rituals or routines, Christ will be of no value to you. And verse 4, "You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Those are rather sad words. To think about being alienated from Christ, to think about falling away from Him. I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad and my uncle always had some ponies. Ponies were my dad's favorite hobby. My uncle lived on the next farm over. He was actually a car dealer, and so he didn't farm, but my dad farmed the land for both farms. But my uncle had ponies in this pasture, which was located between our two houses. We could see their house. It wasn't a big pasture, but at one time that had been an apple orchard. And it was a good place for the ponies to run. One day, we looked out into the pasture that had been the apple orchard, and here one of the ponies, Ginger, was caught. Somehow she had gotten herself into the crotch of a tree, and she couldn't get out. She was a beautiful brown and white spotted mare. We saw her, we went out to try to help her. My dad got this chainsaw and he tried to cut away some of the branches, but it was already too late. Ginger had suffocated in the crotch of that tree. Now, she had the whole pasture to run in. She could go anywhere she wanted. She was free to roam. But she got caught by one tree. We are free in Christ. But we should not be caught by those legalisms that Paul is speaking about in these verses. Some today turn to intellectualism. If only they know enough, they can satisfy God. Some turn to moralism, and that, they believe, will save them. Some feel that if they are emotional, that will indicate salvation. Paul says, don't submit to any kind of yoke. Trust Christ completely. Stand firm, he says, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Thirdly, also consider the abuse of freedom. And Paul addresses that in verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The Galatians had to accept the freedom they had in Christ. But they also were not to abuse it. They were not to say, well, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. I can live my own life. It doesn't matter how I live. If my sins are forgiven, if Jesus has paid the price, then I can do what I want. Paul was saying, you're not free to do what you want. To do what you want is sin. That will lead to slavery. Those of us who have driver's license have great freedom. We can get in our cars or our vans or trucks anytime we want, and we can go wherever we want. We can travel the roads and the highways. We can go across country if we want. We have great freedom. We do not have freedom to break the laws. Break the law means that we might be in trouble. We might have to pay a fine, or if it is a more serious thing, a person may even lose their license. Many have a mistaken idea of freedom. Their idea is that to be free is to do what I want. It's my life. It's my body. It's my circumstances. I can do and live the way I want. I can do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. That's not what Paul's talking about when he speaks of freedom. That's the abuse of freedom. Freedom, he says, is not just doing what we want. That will only bring bondage. The best story, an example of that perhaps, is the story of the prodigal son. Here was a son who took his part of the inheritance. and he left home. He wanted to be free from dad's rules and restraints. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to spend his money. He wanted to live. He found that his freedom only led him to bondage. He was not free then, but rather his sins, his sinful desires had brought him into slavery. So he came back to the Father, where he found real freedom. Paul offers another option. He says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. Rather than abusing your freedom, serve one another. I know that you do that here at First Church. You serve one another. When people are sick, you care about them. When a family member has died, you express your concern and you help in any way you can. When there are troubles and trials, you pray for one another. That's what he's talking about. Serve one another in love. A Christian poet named George Matheson said this, make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarms when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. There is great freedom in deep commitment. When we are committed to Christ, then we are free. I began with talking about America's freedom and about the Declaration of Independence. The prologue of the Declaration of Independence says these familiar words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The signers of the Declaration were saying, freedom is God's gift. We are endowed by our Creator with these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom is God's gift. The Creator endowed us with these rights. But freedom is not free. As you well know, there is a high price. There was a high price for our spiritual freedom, the price of Christ's own sacrifice and death on the cross. And there is a price, too, for America's freedom. I came across an article called The Price of Freedom. It said this, some were ready and prepared. Others were so young and so naive. Some of them chose to serve our country. Others had no choice. They were called to serve. As they hugged and kissed their loved ones by, their hearts were heavy and tears filled in their eyes, not knowing if they would be coming back home or if they would die. It was also unknown. As they prepared to fight for our freedom, we prayed for God for their safety. They all left their loved ones and the lives they had known. They departed to an unfamiliar land, risking their lives and making so many sacrifices. Being away from family and friends, giving up what most can't even comprehend. The horrors and atrocities that our veterans faced and endured, you may never, ever know or totally understand. They protected our rights, our freedom, and the rights of others so that we can enjoy freedom in our land. Some came home to a hero's welcome. Others didn't come home at all. They made the ultimate sacrifice. There is a price for freedom, which they all so graciously paid. We are grateful to those people today. Some of you who served in various forms of the armed services, we're grateful to you. We're also grateful to God for this land, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We're grateful too for the spiritual freedom gained for us in Christ. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word freedom. It is so precious and beautiful to us to know freedom in Christ. And it is precious to live in a land where freedom is important. Help us not to take it for granted, but to give thanks today and in this week, to celebrate it and to ever be grateful for those who have preserved and protected our freedom, and for the freedom that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ.